Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we started off last week on a teaching on wavering faith, right? On wavering faith. Let's put our hands together and say this word, our Father. What someone said?
Say, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word.
As the word is taught this morning, we receive it as we ought to receive, with clarity and great insight. We'll walk in the light of your word every day, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at unwavering faith.
Unwavering faith. Hallelujah. So before we get to talk about unwavering faith, let's just deal with a couple of things that I've been sharing with us at the
beginning of the year, from the beginning of the year. Hallelujah. And we started off by saying that when it comes to how you read your Bible, it's very important.
Hallelujah.
How you read your Bible is very important. I know that some people want to read their Bible in Old and New Testament. But I said to us, that's not a good way to read your Bible.
Hallelujah. There's nothing called Old Testament. Bible is Scripture.
Bible is Bible.
Hallelujah. Jesus never called, when Jesus was in the earth, walking the earth, he read Genesis to Malachi, and he never called it Old Testament books. It's called Scriptures.
Hallelujah.
It's called Scriptures.
2 Timothy chapter 2, I mean chapter number 3.
Paul was speaking to Timothy in verse 16. He said, so Timothy said, former child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. What does he refer to as Holy Scriptures? Paul was in Matthew, Luke, and John. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not written there.
So what he called Scriptures is Genesis down to Malachi. That is called Scriptures. Amen. So there was no place where he called it Old Testament book.
Verse 15 now said, all Scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi, is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is the word in the Greek for spiritual growth.
So that means you find spiritual growth in the Old Testament books, as we call it. Amen. Glory to God. John chapter 5, verses 39.
Jesus speaking to the Pharisees said, he said, you search the Scriptures.
Watch that. He said, you search the Scriptures.
What are they called Scriptures? Genesis, that's the Malachi. Jesus himself.
He said, in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life.
So that means Jesus didn't speak down Genesis down to Malachi. He read from there.
Hallelujah. Luke 24, verses 27.
Verse 25, he met two of his disciples on their way to heaven, to Emmaus. Open your Bible to Luke 24, verses 25.
He says to them, he says, O fools and slow hearts to believe. O fools and slow hearts to believe in all that the prophet has said. They ought not to Christ.
26. So suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Now look at verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses. Look at where Jesus is reading from. Beginning at Moses.
Hallelujah.
Beginning at Moses. About the prophet. So where is Moses? Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Amen. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Which is Genesis down to Malachi. He said he expounded to them in all the Scriptures.
What's that?
In all the Scriptures.
The things concerning himself.
In all the Scriptures.
So Jesus read Genesis down to Malachi and he didn't call it Old Testament book. Okay, you hear me? So to call Genesis to Malachi Old Testament is gone. Some people say Moses is gone. Let's leave Old Testament and come to New Testament. I don't know where they got that from. Amen.
Bible should be read together.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. When the writers of the Synoptic, which is the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were writing, look at how they opened up. In Matthew 1, verse 1, Matthew said this, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. They were writing about the story of Jesus.
They want to write about the story of Jesus. And they didn't write about the story of Jesus as what you call Passion of the Christ, movies that you watch. They were not telling their stories. It's not the story of Antelope and Tortoise. No, it's not the story of, it's not the story of the Tortoise and the Hay. No.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Rather, they told Jesus' story from the scriptures. Genesis down to Malachi as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Look at how they open up. It said the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He used the word generation there. That word generations is where you have the word Genesis. Genesis, the book of the Genesis of Jesus. So they are telling you that you have to go back again. We are writing about the story of Jesus, but will be read from the Genesis. Hope you are seeing that. The story of Jesus will be read from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So the way they wrote is in such a way that you have to go back again and reread from the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's how they wrote. That you have to go back and reread and see what they are writing from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Matthew 28, so they were not just writing Jesus as a mere man. No, they're writing Jesus as God become a man. You see that? They wrote about Jesus as God become a man. So they write about the incarnation, you trace it down to scriptures. Now in chapter 28, verses 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. That scripture could be read as, I have commanded you, and Lord, I am is with you. He used that word, I am. That is the same word for God in Exodus. Hallelujah. The Hayah of Exodus. The Hayah of Exodus. That is the same Hayah of Genesis. Amen. The I am, Ego Emam. That's the proper name. It's not a sentence. I am with you is not a sentence. It is a proper name. It's God's name. I am. Hallelujah. That name, that word I am is a proper name for God. I am. In Exodus, when Moses encountered God, and Moses asked, who would I tell them? He said, tell them, I am that I am. It's God's proper name. Hallelujah. It's God's proper name. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, I am with you, Jesus is saying, he is God. Hallelujah. I am with you. So Jesus is God become a man. Hope you're following me. Jesus is God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John will now pick out something very vital that we'll get to see shortly. Amen. Remember, take note of this. He is the I am. Right? The I am. Or Exodus. Take note of that. It will come alive when we get to John 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark also opens up with the word Akomai. He said the beginning, Akomai, or Ake, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you hear the word beginning of the gospel, beginning, when you hear beginning many times, your mind goes back to the Genesis. So he's saying, Jesus, the gospel of Jesus is the gospel from the Genesis. Hallelujah. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In that sense, in verse 2, as it is written. As it is written. He goes to Malachi. You see that? He goes to Malachi and he says, behold, I send my prophet before thy face, who shall prepare the way for you. Talking about John. Did you see that? He's talking about John. And then, listen, he's writing about the story of Jesus. And then he goes to Malachi. And then to Isaiah. And then the voice of God cries in the way that has prepared in the way of the Lord. That is by strength. Now, he goes to Malachi and he goes to Isaiah. And he's writing about the man John in the story of Jesus. Telling you that the event of the four gospels are put up to him. Hallelujah. The event of the four gospels is scripture fulfilled. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. in chapter 16 verse 20, he uses that same word. He says, and they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them.
Watch this. With the Lord walking with them. Where do you find God walking with them? In Exodus. So it's telling you that Jesus is that God in the Exodus. Okay, let me. Jesus is God in the Exodus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is God in Exodus. Yo, look at understanding the gospel from next week. We'll start having teachings on understanding the gospel. We get to see some of these things again. Hallelujah. I hope by God's grace to get into some details of some things.
Hallelujah.
As we have the person of Jesus of the world.
Hallelujah.
You can't take it away. You can't take it away.
If a man doesn't believe Jesus is God, he's not born again.
Don't you know?
Jesus is not God, he's a prophet.
God, let me knock your head.
Like you receive grace.
Hallelujah. You can't say you're born again and you don't believe Jesus is God. If Jesus is not God and you are born again, and you think you are born again because you are not born again. Amen. Because that's the basis of our belief that Jesus is God.
If you think Jesus is not God, I should give you a second box.
My pastor has influenced me. Now become Jehovah with weakness. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, let's see. Luke. He said, for more men are taken in hand to set another declaration of those which are mostly believed among us. He said, even as they delivered them unto us. Now Luke used that disclaimer that he's not God. I mean, he was not there. When the event of Jesus took place, was not in Jerusalem. He said, even as they delivered them unto us. So he's saying he's a third party. He received it from people. Right? So who does he say he received it from? He said they were eyewitness from the beginning and ministers from the of the world.
This is eyewitness from the beginning and ministers of the world. So that means he didn't get it from any other person. He got it from people who are ministers of the world. Ministers of the world,
where would they be reading from? The Genesis. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. They will be ministers from the beginning. With him from the beginning. So when you get to Luke 24, you discover that the basis of where he read from, verse 27, Luke showed us that it will be from the word, from Genesis. Hallelujah. From Genesis. Let's quickly look at John. I told us to look at, so hold on and see some things in John. In John 1, verse 1,
it says, In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God.
Hallelujah. Now you know what it says, the beginning there is the same word Alkeomai. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And God is the word. And the word was God.
It isn't the word was the kind of God. No.
Isn't the word looked like God? No.
So the word was God. Hallelujah. Come back here.
He used that word logos. Right? Logos. Now remember I told you the origin of words is from where? From Genesis, right? So the origin of that word logos is the word dabar. Okay, you hear me? Is the word what? Dabar. Now you need to understand that. So something we're going to see during understanding the word is what is dabar and how dabar is. But for the sake of this class, I'm going to tell you what dabar is. Now dabar is the word for word, is used for spoken words, right? Listen, it's used for spoken words, it's used for written words, and it's also used for a person. Jabbar is used for a person, not just word. Now, watch this. Watch this now. He says, in the beginning was the word. Now, when you use the word beginning, your mind goes to Genesis. Hallelujah. He said, the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, when he said the word was God, it's not all the words of the prophet became God. No. He said the word was God. It was referring to the person of the word. Jabbar. It's called the Jabbar Yahweh, which is the word of God. And it was a person. Hallelujah. A person. In Genesis, quickly, chapter 3. Quickly rush to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Are you there? Verses 8. He said, and they heard the voice. Actually, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden. We're not talking about the voice of God. No, we're talking about a visible person. Hallelujah. How many people know me? A visible person. So that means they heard God walking. Hallelujah. And that is the Jabbar Yahweh. That is God. Okay, hallelujah. And that is what God will call the Word. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. Look at Genesis. The same Genesis. Chapter 15. Verses 1. Genesis 15, 1. Oh, explore this much more than you understand in the gospel. Look at Genesis 15, 1. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, it says, and after these things, said the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. He said the word of the Lord. You know, most of all we see this, the word of the Lord. Maybe he just like, no. The word of the Lord came. That is the person of the word. Okay, you hearing me? That's the person of God. He said the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Okay, follow me. So that means God came to Abraham. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. God came to Abraham in a vision. And who is this word? He said the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That means the same person that came to Abraham is who became Jesus. Okay, enemy. The same God that came to Moses is the same Jesus. That was why Jesus was saying in John chapter number 5, John chapter 8, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it that was God, was the friend of the world. Hallelujah. Abraham, Luke, and not Jesus in the incarnation, no. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. So the voice of God, or the word of God, came as a person. We're going to explore this time anymore so you understand the gospel. Hallelujah. Okay, hearing me. Glory to God. So the word of the Lord came as a person. So when John is now writing about the Jabbar, and now saying the beginning was the word. Is it God? Can you see God? Why you know that the word is God? It's not the word was a God. He said, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now look at verse 2 of that John chapter 1. Hallelujah. I need you to follow me now. Hallelujah. Look at verse. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. Said, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. Who? The word. Hallelujah. So how did God create the earth? By his word. Who is the word? Jesus. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. Now when you get back to Genesis, come back. Get back to Genesis chapter 1. I'll just show you a few things now. Genesis 1. Hope you are following me. And you are learning something. Look at verses 2 into 3. He said, at the end of the time for my voice, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Stop.
Now he said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I told you that that word there is higher force. Amen? Amen? When he said, let there be light, God said, let there be light. No, he actually said, I am. He used the same word for Exodus chapter 3 when he says, I am that I am. He used it in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. He says, I am light. What is it? He says, I am light. Amen. And then one further, he separated the light from darkness and he made the creation. And John is saying, all things were made by him. Did you see that? Who? The word. Not spoken word, but the person. Who are following me? Who are following me? A person. The person of the word. So in Exodus, he appeared to Moses and said, I am that I am. Now Jesus in John will now say, Jesus in the incarnation will not say, he is the I am. He used that same word. Before Abraham was, I am. Did you see that? Before Abraham was, I am. He used the same word. In John chapter number 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Did you get me? I am the light of the world. Now when you do as the light of the world, in Genesis chapter number 1 verse 3, I am the light of the world. Okay, follow me. He used the same word for Genesis 1:3. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's very clear. When John now says, all things were made by him, that he made that he said, him is life. In him is life, and the light is the light of man. The light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. He's reading Genesis. Hallelujah. He came to his own received him. That is in the Exodus and Numbers. Hallelujah. So he reached out for you and understand what became flesh, the incarnation, and came down through the mountains. Hallelujah. And we held his glory. Amen. So Jesus is God. Hope you can see that clearly. Jesus is God. You know they look alike God. No, he is God. God in the Old Testament book became a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Following me? Okay. Glory to God. So, let's get to look at a few things. Let's see a few things here. So, the writer of the synoptic was clear that they wrote about the incarnation and the deity of Jesus from scriptures. So they wrote in such a way that you have to go back to review. Look at what we've done just in Genesis. Just in John. We went to Genesis and came back. They wrote in such a way that you have to read the Old Testament books as we call it and the New Testament books together. So, one way to read your Bible is to get to your Bible. That place is all Old Testament. Here is the way. That place is all New Testament because the Bible should be read together, not in factions. Amen. Read your Bible together. Amen. I had to crack a joke. I said, those people that will tell us, no, this is Old Testament, Old Testament is God. Yes, if you come around with only Matthew to the place, they will say it's called Rachel. Go and get sword. And yes, they tell us the sword, which is Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Malachi is old and God. Amen. Tell us where we should stand. Now we can stand there. Amen. Amen. Now let's see a few things. Unwavering faith. Matthew 28. Let's get into our teaching. Matthew 28. Verse 20. Okay, verse 18. It says, go make disciples. Okay, verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said to them, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew, right? 28. So he said,
I said to us that this will be Jesus' closing remark
within the 40 days, right? An instruction for believers. He says, make disciples. Teach all nations, but that's the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Hallelujah. And so this is with God's tax in all the ends. What is God's tax? Make disciples. Make disciples. That word there, make disciples,
will be the word in the Greek, matthew.
Now when you look at 1 Timothy 2, verses 4, we see God's plan. He said all men to be saved. We looked at all this last week because I need us to get into what I'll teach us today on time.
The all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
All men to be saved. So it's not God doesn't just want you to be saved. God doesn't just want you to get men born again.
No. Amen. Getting men born again is important. But God doesn't want you to end there. He wants you to do what? Disciple them. Come to the knowledge of the truth.
So discipleship is very vital. And that is really for the word matitio. Matitio is how you raise someone from a novice in a citadel of learning to becoming a scholar. To becoming a scholar, and a scholar will be seen how he too will now raise people.
Hallelujah. And therefore we said the background, and yet was sitting on the day, the background then is the local church.
Meaning the local church is where God's word is taught and men are discipled for God. Amen. Amen. So you are trained in the local church. You are trained in the local church to serve God effectively. Amen. Properly. So there's nothing like I am born again to serve God on my own. You cannot serve God on your own terms.
You serve God in the loop. Okay,
my few days of being born again, just few days, I can tell you of the truth that nobody ever grows spiritually outside the local church. I've seen people who left the local church, who left their local churches, and then they want to grow on their own. They never ever grew. Never. Because spiritual growth only found in the local church. Okay, anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said last week, we said the teaching of God's word should be intense in the local church. Since the local church is how God wants us to grow men, therefore teaching should be intense and accurate. Intense and accurate. You don't subject teaching to SMS. You don't do it. Short message sermon. Say, I like that church. Why? Because the farmer just give us the word. Bam! 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 I love the church when we dance. When we are done dancing, the farmer just give us the word. This is your week! The pastor knows how to use live events, things that are happening, to teach God's word. See, can't you see how focused the super idols were? When they met their obstacles, they met the antelopes. Look how focused they were. I said, Pastor, you are hitting the point. He said, they were focused. All they need is one more. What is your one more? Pastor. The war. And after 4 minutes, I don't. They looked at the way. Senior, not three would have given before. There was a new man to put it into the head. Where is your new man? New man needs to look.
Come on now. I said, I like that church. Come on, just teach for 5 minutes.
But it is the point.
The point!
No. Teaching shouldn't be that way. Teaching should be intense.
Intense means it will take time.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because it is for spiritual growth.
Hallelujah.
To be intense and accurate. Why? You said because the whole of the Christian activity is tied to how a man is taught.
Amen?
The whole of the Christian activity is tied to how a man is taught. So a man, listen, so that means I mustn't joke with how I'm taught. And also how I receive what I'm taught.
Amen? Well, now last week I told us they are very vital. How you are taught and how you receive it. Right? Now I want to further expound on how you receive it. We'll put it like this, how you are taught and what you do with what you are taught. Amen. That's how you receive it. What do you do with it? What do you do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So last week we said teaching creates the foundation for what is called the believer's faith. It creates the foundation. So therefore, never joke with how you are taught. Amen. I can't be in the church and you are telling me, look at the way Osimhen knocked the ball. The focus, the determination, he went higher. How are you sorry? I'm sorry about it. Amen. So what is, where is the ego in you? Where is the ego in you? What is super ego? Where is your power from it? Amen?
No. But it's intense. So never joke with how you have been taught. So teaching is not about just coming to say anything from scriptures. No. If teaching was about just coming to just cook up scriptures, marry scriptures together, commit immorality with scriptures.
I heard that from Dr. Daniel recently. Because of people are committing immorality with scriptures.
Amen. That got my attention. I was interested. Immorality. Just carry it.
Yeah, I'm joining to this place. I'm just joining scriptures.
Amen. There's immorality.
Amen.
How can you say, come on now, it's immorality. Amen. I heard that and I was just laughing. I said, this is very accurate. How people do it? Not even minding. Once it sounds alike, they just put it. Just put it, papa, 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 ah!
Wash your mouth. No, it's wrong.
Amen. If explaining Bible was just about putting scriptures together anywhere, anyhow, just papa, papa, Jesus wouldn't have issues with the Pharisees. You know, explain to us during GPL the Pharisees, how they came about. Did I talk about it?
Okay, how did you get a glimpse? I remember that I told about it well. So that is a teaching for you. Did I teach you guys on it? How did it came about? What led to their coming about?
Well, I said I'll let the cat out of the bag too early. Amen. That was a good one. Let me not talk about you. So when you just, you know, wouldn't have had issue with the Pharisees at all.
Well,
that's why
they started with a new concept, a new mind.
That's the best you can take.
But it's something genuine. Amen. No matter how genuine you are, what you are doing, what is wrong, is wrong.
Oh, wrong.
Amen.
So, you don't have issues with them, just with the Bible anyhow. Amen. You don't have issues. But you had issues with them. In fact, he warned his disciples in Matthew 6, we saw Matthew 16 last week, verse 6. He told them, beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But still been answered when he talks about the living there, he was referring to their doctrine. That is the word deduction. Deduction. Verse 12. Use the word doctrine of the Pharisees. Deduction. Deduction means how what is explained is explained. So there's a how Bible should be explained. Yeah, there's a how Bible should be read. Because how you read that compared to how you explain it, there how Bible should be read and explained. Amen? There how Bible should be explained. How? The how is very vital. Amen? Amen? There how. That is the deduction. So Jesus said they had a corrupted mode of explanation. Use the word living. What is corrupt? What is wrong? What is bad? So they had a bad way of interpreting scriptures. They had a corrupt way of interpreting scriptures. Amen. A bad way, a corrupt way of interpreting scriptures. So how should scriptures be interpreted? We're going to get to see that shortly. Amen. Amen. In Matthew 7, verses 28, Jesus taught them for days. That teaching started from chapter 5 into chapter 7. They were 28, he said, and it came to pass when Jesus ended his saying, and people were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine there is mode of explanation. Did that change? He said, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't teach like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't teach like them. He taught in the mode of explanation of Jesus. The mode of explanation of scriptures were up by Jesus was different from theirs. Amen. So there's a way scriptures ought to be explained. There's a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Scripture ought to be explained from the Genesis. I've shown you this. Over time. But what will see that next week? How scripture should be explained? How should I read my Bible? Not read your Bible in Old and New Testament books. No, read them together. Hallelujah. Read them together. Read Nahum. Read Obadiah. Read Zechariah. Read Amos. Read everything. Hallelujah. Read everything. Some people, they open their book from Haggai, it's too funny. And you read that book for 10 years. That's the only clean path in your life. But you always keep it. No. Read everything together. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's very vital how scripture is explained. Very vital. Because it will tell how the believer will turn out. Amen. Amen. Go to God. Even how you get people born again, we're going to get them again. Amen? We're going to get them again. If you tell how that person will turn out. Look at John 16. Jesus warned. Look at John 16. Are you there? Verses 2. On top of verse 1, I said, these things have I written unto you that you should not be offended. Said, they shall put you out of synagogues. Did you see that? Yes, the ten comments. Now whosoever killeth you will think they do at God's service. Did you see that? They will kill you and then they are worshipping God, they are serving God. Did that happen to the disciples? Did that happen to Paul? It did happen to them. Okay, but it happened to them. People will kill you. They will beat you and then they are serving God. Hallelujah. Take note. They will be reading the same scriptures like you. And then they are serving God. Don't you? They are serving God. They will read the same scriptures. Now, I'm not going outside. I'm talking about even within. Amen. It happened to Paul and Barnabas. Okay, to Paul himself. But Paul and Barnabas had to face up some people in Acts 15. Okay, we're coming to see that shortly. Amen. How to face up some people in Acts 15 that were teaching other things. These were the same people that answered that they should capture Paul. I got it from the same Bible. What is the difference? How what is explained is explained. Okay, following. The how. The how. How is it explained? It's very vital. How is it to explain? It will tell how the believer will turn out. Is it there? Is that how you would turn up in your Christian walk? You know that? What is a believer saying? There's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. Just drink but don't get drunk. Sure, we're alright. Our share with us of thoughts is the effect of alcohol. Look at Noah now. Right? We saw Noah. Noah was drunk. And then his son slept with his wife. Amen? What's wrong? The effect of drink. It is so clear in scripture all the effect of strong wine. Amen? Amen? That will give strong wine to him that perishes. It is there. It's written so much on you to see that you cannot say no. It's not about being drunk. It's about not drinking but don't get drunk.
show our own life. The Bible says, even in efficient, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Mark it, it's excess. He is not saying to not drink. It is, that kind of attitude is born out of the wrong teaching. What are you telling me? It is born out of the wrong teaching. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So how do you read, or how is scriptures explained to you? It's very vital. It's very vital. It will tell how the believer will turn out. In Acts 15, they met a group of guys who began to say, except you are circumcised, Acts 15:1. Except you are circumcised with the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved.
They are telling people, this is evangelism. They want to be born again. You have to go and do Moses circumcision. When I talk about Moses circumcision there, permit that word, because look at the full in such a way that they will understand. He's not saying, Moses circumcision means the shadow of what Moses was teaching. Because Moses circumcision was the circumcision of the heart, don't miss it. But he gave them a what? A Simeon, a sign of it, which is what circumcised the foreskin of the flesh. Did you see that? Amen. So they are not telling people, even if you like believe everything you want to believe, once you are not circumcised, you can never be born again. Ah! Did you see that? So the Bible now says in Acts 15 that Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension on them. Did you see that? They disputed over what's the meaning of that. Did you get it? So they said, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go and talk to matter. So they go to Jerusalem, verses 5. He said, there was a certain sect of the Pharisees. Watch it! Pharisees who? So they believed, but they didn't change how they saw scriptures. Did you that? They still read scriptures the same way they were read this way they were promised. Did you that?
What did they say? Let's read what they said together. One, two, go! That is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that?
So their perception about scripture didn't change. Only have to listen to Jesus, but they still had those stresses.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
So you must learn to read scriptures accurately. Accurately. For the accurate. You must fight for it.
For cause, Bible interpretation, labor. It's labor.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, Paul faced similar kind of doctrine. He faced another similar kind of one in this same Act of Apostles doctrine.
Act of Apostles 15. What he said, they also faced it again in the book of Galatians, in the church of Galatians.
Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 3. He faced a similar one. That means that always been on the ground. Amen. I shared with us a time ago that false doctrine did not just start. Amen. False doctrine, not your time. Many times, false doctrine is born out of laziness to read scriptures well. Many times, it's born out of it. You know your time. Chapter 3, verse 1, he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you doesn't mean they gave them wings to eat you. Who has bewitched you means, who is siphoning you?
Amen. Amen.
No. Who has bewitched you? That you should not believe the truth whose eye Jesus was portrayed, whose eye Jesus Christ has evidently set forth, crucified amongst you. Says, this only I want to learn from you. Is this yet the Holy Ghost by the works of law, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Have you begun in the spirit? You are not being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered many things in vain? If it yet be in vain. You see that? So it means this doctrine crept into there.
Hallelujah. Before I said that if me or any other angel, which is going to say, come and teach you another Jesus. He said, let him be apart.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means he refers, listen now, he refers to the fact that let me put it this way, it implies that how you are taught is important. Because you begin to show in your Christian walk. Now like the church in Galatia, they began to add works. Self-righteousness. Works. Works of the law. Keeping of this, keeping of that. Do you get me? Keeping of that law, keeping of this one, keeping of that one. It began to creep into their midst. Why? Because some people have come to teach them wrong message. How you are taught is important. Okay, hear me. How you are taught is important. And it also starts with, what do you say during evangelism? What do you say when you go for evangelism?
Evangelism should be thorough. Because if you know that you are setting a foundation for the Christian life, you must be thorough. Don't go for evangelism and you are telling somebody the way to becoming rich is a new world. How? When you say you know that, but because you see the guy is poor, and say, see, you know what? There's riches in Christ. They're going to get better. How? How? The Bible, listen, the scripture, listen, everybody of who you are in the society, the scripture is the same. You'll be taught the same. Okay, I mean, listen, what do you want?
Rich, poor, tall, short.
And I even say, short person, say, okay, Jesus will make you tall. There's an anointing called Mishaka. How? The person is short, is short. Say, come up here, come up. He's short, is short. Do you know why he's short? Is because he's short. Amen. You cannot
now. Amen. Amen. You can meet someone and say, Jesus is the secret to wealth.
If you get born again, you receive the secret to wealth.
It's a lie!
It's fake nonsense foundation. And that person will not get born again with the hope that money will be falling for him. The person will not walk. So Jesus will make me rich.
Amen.
Amen. The gospel is the gospel. Preach the gospel.
Hallelujah. See, when you get born again, you will never have persecution.
Kudos. Then there's no persecution with the mind of Christ. Your mind is hidden in Christ in God. You can never be persecuted. And Jesus, the Lord has said, was sent him. They caught him. That kind of gospel is meant.
Say this, no! Say, do you know where you are? Have you said the name of the Lord is a strong tower where the light has run into?
And you are using it to teach him also. You know that he is wrong, but he's a teaching also. Say, the light has run into and they are saying, the economic meltdown. There's no money. Say, you are in the Lord's power. There's mana.
Bro.
What? Sorry, the guy that has done that by one thing for how much? Is he only for unbelievers? Don't you buy it? Don't you buy it? Or maybe you buy that like that, you have to buy it for 200 naira. So why is that price? Leave anyone at you. Just not talking with you. Amen.
What are you saying there? Hallelujah. You go, you preach God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is light in darkness. Man who is not born again is in darkness. Hallelujah. But there's liberation.
Hallelujah. There's liberation. Hallelujah. There's hope.
Hallelujah. Man shouldn't die and go to hell.
Man shouldn't die and perish. Hallelujah. Man can live a glorious life on earth and walk for Jesus. And walk for God. Hallelujah. Man also wants man to live his life in the earth in darkness. God wants man to live his life in the earth in light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Man can save himself from the devil. So Jesus offers that solution. Jesus himself is salvation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me.
Don't go and be talking nonsense. Like a young guy met me, or we had a conversation, and he was saying some funny things. I don't understand where it was coming from, because
I have to
consciously renew my mind. Where I'll be seeing scriptures of persecution, and I'll be seeing that is for. For suffer for all that will not suffer again. It's called Jesus. Yeah? You get what I'm saying about that? Genuine person. I love that. Very genuine. Why am I going to get persecuted? Why should I suffer when Jesus has paid enough? And then what did Jesus feel? Persecution? No. He didn't pay enough. He didn't feel persecution. He didn't pay their sin. And I never, you know that what you are saying will be unfair to a believer that is staying in the room, that is staying in Babylon, that will have to flee from their houses for days. Or a believer that is in China, that they will have to go and have their meetings inside cave. You are having things, you are having Hamatan, cave. Very hot. Because we want them to see them preaching to you, talking about Jesus, even though they all die. So, you will not be fair to them to say, Jesus has saved them. So what gospel are they hearing? Did you see that? What gospel are they hearing? Amen? Amen? Now when they now receive one koboko for preaching the gospel, just one blow, all of them will go into their shed. And I showed you in Acts of Apostles chapter 5, they flogged the disciples. When they flogged them, they didn't give themselves, like in the past, they didn't give themselves bread. Yeah, know yourself, let's go preach a bit. Amen? Amen? They come there, but they rejoice that they were one. So that means there was something that they had. So the persecution comes your way, and your response is not like that of the apostles. It therefore means there's something wrong with your idea. There's something faulty about your foundation. Amen? When a believer is scared, he shies away from tribulations. There is something wrong with your head.
What are you hearing me?
Glory to God. There's something wrong with your head.
Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, Pastor, how come? As I believed all these years that Jesus has paid it, or we shouldn't survive. I said, you have a job.
Say, no, I lost my job. Okay. You lost paper. You walk into any organization and say, Jesus paid for me to have a job. Walk into a share. Say, Jesus has paid it all. Don't go out into a CD in microfinance bank. Walk up to share. Share wrong. Enter there. With the sub-director, I want to see the MD, managing director. Amen. When he says, see, sir, I put it to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus has paid for me to be in this office. Now, give me the job. You are not just born with it. See, your family members will not see you for years. You are not just born with it.
Amen? Amen? Yes. Heard the story? Before that, I know some people, you join an organization, they want, you just resume while you're going out, and say, I take this place,
I take it, you go back home, that's it, what is that? Of the day that I power for the righteous. The riches of the center. A power for the state. So I'm taking my possession. That's it. You possess that thing and go home. That thing that has possessed your brain. You go home. I'm telling you. Something like that. Amen. No one is going for an interview. Because what I've been taught, so you attend a church, a big congregation, and after them this week, anything you want, just say, buy this handkerchief, clean your face. When you clean your face, That is favor. And that is God.
Not knowing that the person that is the interviewer,
the owner of the company, attends the church. So he too bought handkerchiefs. The person that was going for interview too had handkerchiefs, so they went there. The interviewer was interviewing him. Then when you bring him to the organization, ask him question, he couldn't answer. He just asked. He's not sweating, he's not carrying handkerchief, not clean his face. Pastor said, if you are here, the interviewer said, oh shit, they want to blend you to carry the dough. You shine your hand. You shine your hand. Whatever thing you are cleaning, please I'm cleaning my own.
Watch that. Christian.
You need to come out to how you live your life. Imagine a believer wearing this and he's saying this ring is called audacious. How? We're in bamboo and he said it's audacious in church. He tells how you have been taught. I was told that that's why you were in it. He said, no, the man of God gave it to me so that anytime all the fire evil arrows will not enter. And then put that on them. When you don't believe, it's two ways. Teaching is labor. Amen. You pay the price. Whether you like it or not. Whether you pay the price by hearing with sitting for hours, or you pay the price that they will use your brain to wash money. Now we are ring. They now tell you ring, sister ring, you stop. How do you feel yourself ring? Thank you, secret ring. Now we are secret ring.
It was Kenneth that brought you out.
You will now wear signet ring. How? He said there is one water that you used to sell in church. You always pay for your kindness. When you don't want to hear God's word, you pay with your word.
Amen! How you are taught God's word? It will always come out. Amen. Go and buy coconuts. Your house is full of coconuts. Every day you are breaking coconut and putting the water into what you do to take your bath.
Why? So that favor will show. Look at yourself. Even India will be amazed at you. But
this is how we call it. But I just feel. So it's very vital what you hear. And also,
not just what you hear, not just what you hear, but not just about what you are taught or how you are taught, right? How you are taught is very vital, right? How you are taught is very vital. I say that. So how is my notes? Let me read it from my notes.
While how you are taught is vital, right?
Your reception of God's word is also very vital. You can be taught well and then turn out bad. That is your reception to his vital. Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus thought and thought and thought, yet there was still a giga. Did you see that? There was still a giga. So in as much as how you are taught is important, also how you receive what you are taught, your reception to it is very vital.
You see that? There was also a Judas. Amen. Judas was a pastor. Was a minister. He went with them to preach now. He saw the power of God now. Did he? Yes, he betrayed. It was a Judas. Amen. Glory to God. So how you receive God's word is vital. It's very vital. So how do you receive God's word?
You can also put it like this. How you act on God's word. How you act on God's word is vital. How you act on God's word? Hallelujah. You heard. How do you act on it?
So last week we saw four types of grounds, right? We saw four kinds of grounds, right? From Matthew chapter 13.
Mark 4. and Luke 8. We saw four kinds of girls. Then we saw the stoning ground. Right? We said with Mark David, the thing that fell on the stoning ground, the person was the same. Right? So immediately, Satan kills the world. That's the bed of the earth. Came and saved the world. Right? The second is one that fell on what? I mean, one on the wayside, sorry, on the wayside. The other one on the stony ground. Right? On the stony ground, what happened when the sun scorched on it? The Bible says it withered away because it had no roots. That one would mean that man was never saved. The other fell on the wayside, the bed of the earth came and picked it up immediately. Did you see that? So, had no roots. Hallelujah. When the sun came. When the son came, he said, for that kind of one, his own attitude is that how we received God's word, he was happy when he heard the word. But because they had no root, he couldn't stay. So he wasn't born again. Amen? Wasn't born again. They know that the one that fell, and we're not going to dwell on the first, we're going to dwell on the other two. Because that is what deals with us here. Right? Right? We're born again. So the other two is the one that fell on thorns, right? No. So that one, yeah. Chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew 13:22. It says it fell on thorns. It fell among thorns. That is very right. Not on thorns. I want to be sure of my grammar. Amen. That fell among thorns. Go come again. It fell among thorns. Matthew. 15. He that received the word among tongues is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Did you see that? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it becomes unfruitful. And then we'll have the one that fell on good ground. So, now, remember, we are speaking on the man that is rightly taught. Amen? Amen? We are taught well. Right? So, that is our assumption. The man rightly taught. Amen? Amen? So, we now have two grounds. The one that fell among thorns and the one that's on a good soil. Glory to God. Let me cast your mind back a bit to what I showed us in Psalms 11. Psalms 11 verses 2. Let me cast your mind back. So, automatically, a man that is not well taught has no foundation. Right? 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 When you are badly taught, there is no foundation. It is something. Glory to God. Psalms 11, right? So that's why we are not even looking at that assumption. Man. Because you can't have a foundation on what on the wrong thing. That is no foundation at all. Hope you understand that. Hope you understand that. Okay, there's no foundation at all. It says, the Lord is my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountains. For lo, the wicked bend their bows. They make ready their arrows upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now this is talking about tribulation. It says, for if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen. If the foundations be affected, be destroyed. Now we said that word be destroyed can also mean if there be no foundation anymore. If there is no foundation, it will be destroyed. Amen. So what can the righteous do? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So for the man who is not taught, but we shouldn't be talking about if the foundation be destroyed. Because there is no foundation at all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no foundation at all. Glory to God.
When I made a new foundation, I thought, well, we're going to see what I mean by that. Because it starts on the wrong premise.
The law starts on the wrong premise.
On the wrong premise. Okay. Like I said, we're going to stay with the two grounds that are for believers. Those who are saved. That is Matthew 13:22, as we read. He says, the one that fell among thorns, he says, the cares of this world choke the world. The cares of this world choke the world. The cares of this world. Now, if the fact that he took the word, the king of this world took the word. Now, get back to that Matthew 13. Look at what it says. Took the word and it becomes unfruitful. So that is unfruitfulness. You see that? It's unfruitfulness. Took the word. Now, he shows that. But then he took the word. It means the word he or she hears or has heard doesn't stay because of the cares of this world. But the cares of this world doesn't stay. Because I say, the man forgets all he was taught because he takes about the things of this world. What happened to him? He forgets. He abandons it. The cares of this world. Something that is more pressing is in his or her, in his or her mind than God's word. So he forgets God's word. And he goes on the cares of the world. Then he chokes God's word. And if God's word becomes like it becomes ineffective, ineffective in his life. Hallelujah. Because of what? The cares of this world. And James relates that to us again. In James chapter 1, quickly. James 1:22. It shows us two sets of people that hear God's word. James 1. Look at James 1. Verse 22. I just have to pick this out here for you to see. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Watch this. It says, for if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. Watch this. For he bearded himself and goes away and straight away forget what manner of man he was. Did you see that? He forgets who he is. Jesus will say, if you care for this world, that chokes the world. He forgets who he is. He becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So a man who hears God's word and does not and forgets who he is a man who does not act on God's word. He's not a doer of God's word. He doesn't act on God's word. He's not a doer of God's word. Hallelujah. He forgets himself. Hallelujah. The God's word becomes unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. Mother, he becomes unfruitful. Untruthful. Just that is the turn. What you do with God's word. Maybe it's not true. It's not being God's word. It's not action of God's word yet. Hallelujah. Rather, he goes for the things of the world. The cares of the world. Hallelujah. The cares of the world. The cares of the world. Amen. Amen. But rather, he speaks about the blessedness of the man who hears God's word and does it. Look at that verse 22. I mean, sorry, verse 25. He said, that man looks into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. In chapter 2, he calls it the royal law. You know, the perfect law of liberty is referring to the world. And continues therein. He not being a forgetful, but a doer of the word. Say, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Do you see that? So the blessedness of the word here is in doing it. Is in acting on the word. Acting on the word. Not being forgetful.
not allowing things to trump God's word in your heart.
Okay,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not allowing things to trump God's word in your heart, in your mind.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, open up with me. Jesus will describe such man again in Matthew 7. Let's get to Matthew 7. Let's see how Jesus describes those who hear his word and don't act on it.
Who hears his word and don't act on it? Because people can hear God's word and not act on God's word. John says this, and you give me this, forget who he has. They forget who he has. Hallelujah. They forget who he has. He has God's word and he allows the things of his word to talk to him. He forgets who he is. Forget who he is. His God was planted in the midst of God, among God. He chose God's word. Hallelujah. They will not be pushed.
Will not be pushed. John, I mean Matthew 7 quickly. Let's see Matthew 7. Verses 24. Amen. Let's read verses 20. I read 24, you read 25. Right? I mean, we'll read 25 and 26 together. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. So the rain descended. Let's read 26 together. The rain descended. And the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house.
On the rock.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's read 26 together.
And the son of what? And he said, and the son of what? Come on, and hear that. And the word do what? Say it again. Okay, and do it them not.
You know, this is Janiki boy that's just disturbing me. I thought I was there and do it them not.
Is this my own Bible that I have to move? Sorry, I have an issue.
Okay, and do it them not, okay? Come on, it can be like you too. A foolish man? Which build his house upon? Come on! Build his house upon the? Okay? And it fell! And?
Great was the fall! Hallelujah! So he speaks about the man that hears God's word and do it. And does it, is it the man that built his house? He founded his house upon the rock. Now that the founder is the word in the Greek temelios. Hallelujah. To have a strong foundation, something that is unshaking, unmovable. Temelios. Unshaking, immovable. Hallelujah. Say he dwells, he says he does. He hears the word and is a doer.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's a doer. That is the act of the word. Say he built his house on the rock. On the rock. Temelios. He said the wind blew. Hallelujah. The rain descended. The flood came. Beat on it. Was not destroyed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. But the man that hears, no. Oh no, find me upon the rock. Don't find me upon the rock. No, you're the one who finds the rock there. Amen. It's not God. It's you. Hallelujah. Is there the man that hears and not do? Says the man is called him a foolish man.
He doesn't have some God's word. He allows that. The cares of this world to trump God's word in his heart.
Says the man that built his house on the sand.
Something you're going to see is both the one that is founded on the rock and one that is founded on sand. Similar events happen to them.
Amen. And with the feet. Similar events happen to them. But once, you don't want to. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The other one, he said, great was the fall. Great was the fall of it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. So that means things will come. Floods, storms will come. Will come. I showed us in Ephesians chapter 5 earlier, when I was teaching you on don't be foolish. Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5. It says, redeeming the time. Verse 16. It says, because the days are evil. It says, because the days are evil. There is evil also in the day. Amen. There is evil in the day.
No, there's an evil day. Hallelujah. Evil day. No, no, no.
When the storm will beat on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will beat on that house. Then it will be founded on the Lord. Hallelujah.
No, 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 look at it.
Storms will come. Storms will come. In Ephesians 6, just the next chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Did you see that?
There's something called the evil day. The days of the storm. It will always come. Amen. You know someone, it will always come. Amen. Okay, enemy. The evil day will always come. But many a time, people don't get prepared for it. They don't get prepared for it.
Hallelujah. They don't get prepared for it. Evil day will come. People will blaspheme, your name. People will mock. People will say, oh my, the storm shall come.
You come in different form. Hallelujah.
But you know what? No matter what.
Hallelujah. If you say, we have to be scandal. So, you don't start, you don't, that is, in the evil, there's no way around you. Send the proof of what? No, you already found it. So when it comes, worship. Hallelujah. Worship. I remember years back when people began to say things about me, about us and about me personally. At different quarters, at different places. I remember some people telling me, sir, why is that? You don't even care. I think because I wasn't taught to care about me. What do I even know how I have seen it from someone that I watched growing up. You don't care about me. You don't care about me. You just went about his work. He didn't give you the flag. I saw it from him for the first time. I saw it from him. So when those things will happen, if I tell you he did, to be, he did. But that's what I have faith. That's what I have put in God's work to us. But you know what? They don't show the devil is getting to you. Just keep doing God's work. Instead of keep doing God's work. Amen. Whether days I felt like crying, I felt like. Whether days I felt like running away, I felt like. But every day he looked at him, it was too much on you. Yes, it was. But you know what? You keep God's word. Keep doing God's word. Amen. I said to someone that period was when I spent more than 2 months to 3 months. Every day I was doing evangelism morning and evening. Every day. Every day. People were saying things that they were still sitting in their block. Doing evangelism. Amen? I went to buy a Baltimore clothes. So I can talk in anywhere. Wear my shoes. They told me to wear my shoes. Comb my head. If I had a comb my head, I would still wear my head. Doing evangelism every day. Every day. Morning and evening. Every day. You will still see me on it. Never! 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 Never!
kept saying that. Never give up God. Never. Hallelujah. He will always come.
Amen. Amen. Always come. Stones always come. Can even call him. My devil hit. We're going to discuss this. We'll get into this by next week. Amen. We're going to see. Some of them go come to your business. But the aim is not your business. The aim is your faith. May I have that time maybe? After what did that mean for me? Now went to my brother. My other brother, he started saying things about him on me. And I didn't think of it as until my friend said, so don't you think that is a target that yes, you are just trying to come out of yours and then you not this thing on the world. He said that they will not say they come in. Amen. The target was still me. They don't give up. I'm telling you, this thing lasted for about a year. When I add out of my brother to about a year. And it was very, very intense.
As intense can be.
So that intense as intense can be.
Amen.
For the target is you. Oh my God, the target is your peace. But you never give up. Hallelujah.
Amen. So watch. The same thing that came on the house founded on the rock, the thing that came on the house founded on sand. So we'll see this in a broader scale shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said, if you act on God's word rightly, act on God's word rightly, on what you have taught rightly, you will not be found in fault. And you will not fall out of them. Act on God's word rightly. You will fall. But the wind falls with the fall. I love what a dear man of God said, John G. Hagee, not Kenneth Hagee, John G. Hagee. He said, God, see, I don't think this at all. But when I heard it then, around 2007, 2008, I didn't understand the importance of that, John G. Hagee. I went on one of those CBN, one of the administration. I didn't like it at first. But later on, I began to look at it well. This is true. He said, God has promised you a sweet thing. A sweet thing. A sweet thing. Because in the sailing, you will have obstacles. You have turbulence in the air. Hallelujah. You have turbulence in the air. But you know what? For God has promised you to be saved. I didn't understand the import of that word. When I thought that word, I said, what's the meaning of this? God has promised you to be saved and the same man. But that is true. You have confidence in the air. But you know what? You have good cheer. Hallelujah. You have good cheer. You have a safe landing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Okay, let's begin to get close to this. So when a man doesn't act on God's word, he has no foundation. He can't stand the test of time. There's a test of time.
Hallelujah. There's a test. There's no foundation. The beauty is now on the sand. No foundation. No foundation. Hallelujah. On the sand. So
it
applies.
The man rightly thought and not acting on God's word is a man. I mean, the man rightly thought and not acting on God's word. And a man not rightly thought can be placed on the same pedestal. Did you get that? Because why? No foundation.
No foundation. No foundation. After all the things you have been taught to church, you are still going to see prophets. Do you think that if you look at everything you taught you, and people will not understand what I tell you?
After all they have been teaching you, the world,
They are telling you to stand on top of Kotla. We should take away everything we've taught you. Break coconut water and put it in your brain. Yes, now. What are you going to do? No, I'm going to see my family prophet. Where is the family prophet? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So that said, what kind of foundation do you have? What kind of foundation do you have? It will tell if you will stand the test of time.
We need to close in on this for next week. To tell if you can stand the test of time. If you can stand the test of time. Hallelujah.
What kind of foundation do you have? Are you a forgetful hearer? A forgetful hearer is one who hears God's word and doesn't listen to it again till another Sunday. You're a forgetful hearer. You allow the whole day to choke God's word. You wait another Sunday. You're a forgetful hearer.
A forgetful hearer is one who doesn't act on God's word and he doesn't hear God's word.
You hear God's word today. You pick it up tomorrow. You listen to messages. You are saying God's word. You are acting on it. You are doing God's word.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You are always hearing God's word. Always. And you are acting. You are making progress with God's word. Now the man who knows God. Whatever you hear today, you will hear again. You will download message. But you have envy. You have data. You read it on Telegram. You use it on Facebook. You watch it. You read it on Telegram. You use it on TikTok. You use it on Nokia. You use it on Instagram. You use it because what you know is about what you go on Netflix. Go on Prime Video. Go on Showman. Watch Nigerian Ball. Watch Arsenal Bar. Watch Man U Ball. You just watch nonsense. And you hear what more? Never think about Chelsea. For the reason. Amen. Amen. He's not a job. Or he doesn't watch us. He's just one level of time. You are a forgetful one. And I want you to the topic for church. Shaking faith. How can I be shaking faith? Papa was talking about David. What is Papa saying? But then you have to watch the next written movie on Netflix. You tell me. Well, the one that you tell me everything from beginning to the end. You can't remember from the beginning to the end, Pastor. Choose me from me. What is that? Because you are not hearing God's word. If you are acting as a forgetful hearer. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. You're not putting God's word to pass. You're not listening to it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I, as a pastor, I tell you guys, I listen to what I teach you, and I don't just listen to what I teach you, I listen to what Pastor Shebu teaches you. I hear things. On the go. On the go. On the go. What do you use your time for? On the go. On the go will mean, if I take away your EAP, I should not be hearing God's word. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Always hearing God's word. Amen. So a forgetful hearer is a man who allows the world and not God's word, the world to define him. He is forgetful. Your day is defined by the world. He allows the culture of this world to define what he does. He allows the culture of this world to define what he does.
He is just like Aaron. You know Aaron the Bible? Aaron! Moses went to heaven.
I want to catch some people now.
Moses went to heaven. Say how? Moses went to heaven.
What are you looking at me? I'm talking now. The Bible says it there.
Moses went to the mountain.
The mountain is called heaven. Okay, I know I'm not talking about the future, but I said it.
So Moses went to the mountain. I said it for a while. The people came to meet Aaron. Make us God. Make us a God. Ah! They came to meet Aaron. Say no! Make us our own God.
And Aaron helped them to make a God.
Aaron! Our God will be associate pastor. And you'll be hearing messages. Prophet Aaron. Now he's prophet.
Now we're going to make a moving car. Now say this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Black suit.
Aaron.
You allow men and things to define your commitment to God. Then forget me.
Aaron that walked with Moses. He had forgotten. He was one. He was this. He saw what happened in Egypt. He saw how God led him out. Even if others have forgotten, he shouldn't forget. God needs to be the pastor.
Amen?
But you allow men to influence you.
Aaron was that kind of person. Very unstable.
When Miriam came out too, who did Miriam persuade to follow him to talk nonsense?
Aaron. That kind of believer. If you want to move a gossip around you, the world is, you are influenced greatly by the world.
You can't allow the world to influence you and you think that God's word. Come on. Whether God's word influence you or the world influence you. Over here, let me. The two cannot together. Father, what is influencing you? Are you like Aaron? You want to fast any, the gospel, you can be easily swayed. You don't have a persuasion of gospel or gospel.
You are forgetful. You are forgetful. I've been taught don't be foolish. Yet, I bet I don't teach you don't be foolish. We still saw you doing on social media. We still saw you talking nonsense. Doing this. Where should we start from?
Where should we start? You don't get
with this
blessing. I know I forget you here.
Amen.
Forget you here. Amen. Not persuaded.
So, a handman was Aaron. It was Aaron, no form of conviction.
Circumstances, men defined his conviction.
When men wanted to carry gossip about the man of God, was Aaron calling Aaron?
No.
Aaron too joined. Don't be like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A man, a child of God that allows circumstances to define his or our conviction is not said to be a do of the world.
When circumstances define your conviction.
Circumstances define your conviction.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Money. Yeah. Money. Good job. Bad job. Whether you have money, you have good job or bad job, should not define your conviction. Shouldn't change you.
Some people, because they don't got a good job, they are now changed. Because they don't have small money. Your conviction has changed. On the road with a big boy.
But before then, you were so committed in church. Money has hit your hand now. Small money. Your true character is showing. That is your storm. Your storm is defined, it's showing who you are. You don't know, that is your storm, money. Just give you money. Bah!
Let us take that guy out. Give me show. How about what of us doing? No. You beat God's word. You just send the money.
Me, I'm not scared. I can send your money back. You cannot bribe me with money. Try it. Guys, they want to bribe the pastor. When I see that you are coming from the place of bribe, I will return your money to you. Amen?
Don't trust me. Even if I need it, I'll give back. Glory to God.
Amen. Never allow money or job to define you. Amen. Glory to God. We have such examples of men with unwavering faith. Before we look at one as we close, let's see Mark. Mark in the Bible was one that couldn't stand.
He couldn't stand the heat. Hallelujah. He ran when he was troubled. He was with Paul and Barnabas. When he was troubled, they didn't see John Mark again.
But when trouble was over, Paul now wanted to go to another city. Barnabas man suggested Acts 15 verse 36. He said, and some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in what? Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. He departed.
He ran away. There was turbulence there. He ran away. So now, when everything was okay, he saw storm. He saw opposition. He just didn't see. What do you want like that? Oh yeah. Even for us, not here. When trouble having serious issues in terms of turbulence on the world. Everybody left church now. But after which, he started coming out like that. He came out. I won't mention it. He came out. Hallelujah.
You're just telling yourself to mark them. They are not fit for the world.
They are never fit for the world. Hallelujah. So Paul says, no. Mark is not going with us. No. So if you now go and see the brothers and there's no trouble with you, you will run. Amen.
You will run. No, it's not fixed. Hallelujah. It's not fixed. He has a shaking faith. He has a staggering faith. He says he's not strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have an unwavering faith in Abraham. In Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 17. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things that be not as though they were, who against whom believe in whom, that I might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being weak, and be not weak in faith. Because I'm not his own body, now I'm dead. Nor dead. When he was about 100 years, then the death of Sarah said, he staggered not. That's what I'm going to. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. So we know the story of Abraham.
Amen. He was past the age. But yet the Bible says past the age of giving birth. But yet he was called the father of many nations. I would say he believed God. Hallelujah.
He believed God. Verse 12 is where I'm going to say he staggered not. That word to stagger not there is the word diakrino. Diakrino. It means to wave, to waver, to withdraw from. So he didn't withdraw from God's promise.
He didn't consider the situations around and say, these are not going to work.
No.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 When it comes to God's word, you believe it with the whole of your heart. Hallelujah. You believe in the whole of your heart. Circumstances might not show it, but you believe God's word with the whole of your heart.
He says, he staggered not. He didn't withdraw from God's promise. Hallelujah. At the promise of God. True unbelief. Trembling. But was strong in faith. What was he doing? How was he strong in faith? Giving glory to God. Meaning, he was doing something with God's word. He was acting on it. He was giving glory, thanks to God. Hallelujah. He was doing something to God's word.
He had God's word on his lips. In times he had God's word on his lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like I said to us in Ephesians 5, 6, 6.
What we read is that there is the evil day. Right? Right? There are turbulence of life. And it will come. Jesus said it will come. Both on the house founded on the rock and the one founded on sand, it will come. Amen. Hallelujah. It will show. But you know what? If not, it will come to prove you. To make you better. It will come to prove you.
Come to prove you. But no matter what, be a man that is acting on God's word. Put God's word on your lips. Just like Abraham, give thanks to God. Put God's word on your lips. Put God's word on your lips. All the time. Not when there's a problem, no. All the time. Hallelujah. Put God's word on your lips. All the time. Don't give room to circumstances. Don't give room. Don't give room to fear. Don't give room to death. Don't give room to doubt. Over here. I close like this.
One day, years back, I had a section with someone and I laid hands on the person to be healed. This was having a kidney disease, a kidney issue. I mean, the person had an infection.
She was sick, so she had an infection and a bacteria in her kidney. So I left her so. So I went and I laid hands on her. And I ministered God's word to her. That she will be healed. And I told her something. I told her this. The pain will come back.
Because when I was done, she was perfectly well. Perfectly well. When I mean perfectly well, the pains were gone. She couldn't move and she was walking. So I told her that many times, like I've seen this over and again in the work of ministry, that the pains will always try to come back. But keep God's word on your lips. I told her, keep saying, I'm healed. The power of God is working in me. I told her, I keep saying God's power is working in me. I'm healed.
God's power is working in me. I'm healed. I'm healed. No matter the pain. I'm not going to worry. Now, he said, okay. She was so happy. The day after, I sent someone there. He came back. The news that the leg that was swollen was already coming down. Oh, we're so happy. It took 3-4 days. News got to me that she was fine. That she's now walking. That she was even going to dry food.
I was so happy that she was healed. But remember I told her, keep God's word on her lips. So she said that day, that same day, when I got that news that she was fine and okay, legs were okay, that she even went about, if you saw her, it was good. Then that evening, her legs wasn't swollen anymore, but she felt that sharp pain.
She felt,
and
I told her,
remember I told her, keep God's word on her lips.
She leaves and she stops talking to God. She kept talking. Because if you are saying that you're saying the gospel of God, you keep saying it. You don't die in the
promise. I heard you shout. And the next morning, early in the morning, I was called that she had been rushed to the hospital. Not now to the hospital where I know, and also to outside where I know. And I said, I was so shocked because I got report that she was okay. And I asked, when the pain came? Because I was told, the pain came back again, as you said. And I said, when the pain came, what was she saying? And I was under her, she was shouting, I don't die. She shouted, I don't die, until she died. She didn't die until she knew that. But she died. I was still trying to gather money to go and see how the hospital where she is. But then, I didn't have cash on me. So there was a third person was broke. Yeah? Trying to gather money to go out to go and see her. The news just came that she's dead. Oh, yeah. I was shocked by her. I couldn't see anymore because I was pained. Because she had had her children. Hallelujah.
Situations will happen, but keep God's word in your mouth. This week, put God's word in your mouth. Be full of thanksgiving. Be full of God's word. Hallelujah. Be full of God's word. Be full of God's word means you hear God's word more. You ask them to speak God's word. Amen. To speak God's word.
Compare yourself to God's word. Listen to messages again and again and again and again. Hear it again. See, the ability, I repeat. I'm telling you, I repeat. I will go back to them again. I hear that track again and again. The ability is like that. I listen to it. Even our message, I listen to it again and again and again and again. Amen. Again and again. Again and again. Be a man that is
hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will never fall. We will never fall. No matter the storm, we will never fail. I used to say, I will never backslide. I will never backslide.
I said,
I will never backslide. And he says, say, I will never backslide. I say, I will never fall. Never. I know God's word. I will never fall. No matter. Hallelujah. I know God's word. When I say God's word, I say it always. Let's thank the Lord. Let's go to our feet.